It's not good when you start with four guys not practicing. You don't want that going into camp. Usually none, occasionally one. So what we've tried to do is pull back on some things and in the hopes of getting some numbers back. That hasn't helped, so we're moving forward. It's time for us to go, and we got to get some work done and move this team forward. You know, so the reps that we had cut last week, we're still only working with two groups. Last week, we were down to a group and a half. It's not conducive, so we got to do what we need to do to move our team forward and get them ready to perform.
Bills head coach Sean McDermott, we are live at St. John Fisher. Jeremy and Joe, Brandon Bean joins us in about a half hour. We'll get to him in the 7:30 segment, so stay tuned for that. We'll carry that live for you. We'll get Sal at 8 o'clock as well. And overcast, kind of hazy day here at Fisher. The last week of camp, the Bills practice today, then Wednesday and Thursday, and then they are home for the preseason opener against the New York Giants on Saturday at Highmark Stadium, one of three preseason games. Tons of injuries. Tons of injuries for the Bills. Khalil Shakir, maybe the biggest name, right, with the high ankle sprain.
Yep.
Week to week for him. Add him to Caden Prather, Curtis Samuel, Elijah Moore in and out. Keon Coleman's been out here. On the offensive line, the good news is Spencer Brown started to make his way back after missing a good chunk of camp. It's a lot of injuries. And McDermott there sounds like a guy running out of players, right? So – they're getting through it as best they can, but they've got a lot of injuries.
Skeleton crew this weekend against the Giants,
yeah,
probably.
It might be. And
not that starters would play a lot anyway, but a lot of these guys are backup guys too.
Right, right.
Van Pran Granger is a guy they probably want playing in these games, and Alec Anderson, and that's why they're working out linemen. And it's the backups too,
yeah,
for this game. Wide receiver.
So the news, one of the big stories, of course, around the league is about James Cook, and that he is not practicing. He practiced all last week and then decided yesterday on a Sunday just to go ahead and go in street clothes. The Bills did not announce he'd be missing practice, and Elena Gitzenberg of ESPN after practice asked him, why did you miss practice today? And his answer was business. And then when she asked if you're going to practice tomorrow, he said business. So that led to a lot of hold-in conversations. Appears that we have our hold-in. And Tom Pelissero of NFL Network, with some context here, there's a piece up at NFL.com where the video's there, Mike Garofolo and Pelissero are talking about Cook here, and Pelissero lays out a couple different, I think, key points about this. And it's that the sides are not very far apart, which, you know, in the context of like, oh, James Cook is sitting out, you think, oh, things must be at a stalemate. Things must be breaking down. And Pelissero basically says it's not that. The quote to me that means the most here, Joe, is this is not a situation where the sides are completely breaking down. It does make some sense if James Cook has these contract negotiations hovering over his head that it would make sense for everybody to not have him practicing. Mm-hmm. Makes sense for everybody. You know, the Bills didn't comment on this yesterday.
Yeah.
But, man, it is that to me, I said it in the first hour quite a bit, and if you want to give us a call, 803-0550, not that far apart, makes sense for everybody.
Yep.
Not completely breaking down. Could it be that things are close enough that he decided to just street clothes for one day?
Yep.
It's possible. I don't know how often that is done, but that is very much possible. So you kind of got this very weird dynamic where you see that Cook is in street clothes, and there's 1,000 comments of, he's not any good anyway, they don't need him, he won't affect their win totals. Like, wait a minute, they might be close on a contract. Oh, all right, let me know. Let me know what I'm supposed to say about it. So I am not afraid of a contract for Cook. I think it's a good idea to get him signed to a reasonable contract. I don't think we have to worry about the $15 million, but, you know, I don't know which side thinks they are close, but there you go. There's the whole recap, everybody, about where things are right now, where things stand.
Yeah. And I believe that right now, with all of that being said, that a week ago, I really did not think a contract was going to get done. This is the first test, right? The first real, true test of what the Bills were going to do with a running back that was deserving of an extension, never came up with Devin Singletary. They never made the McCaffrey trade or the Barkley trade. They never drafted a guy in round one. Oh, that's not an extension. This is like the if they were to sign him to a modest deal, you know, comparatively to what he was looking for, he signs for $11.5 million, $12 million a year. It will still be, right, the biggest investment the Bills have made at the position.
Well, is it?
Even if you include the draft pick, too, especially, a second-round pick and then an extension into this player, I mean, you really won't be able to say anymore, like, well, they don't value, like, they can go dime a dozen at running back because, mm-hmm. look at this guy. They spent a good pick on him and paid him on top of that.
Isn't he already the biggest investment they've made at running back?
Just because of the draft pick?
Yes. Yeah, yes, I mean, it's the end of the second round, but.
But that's the most they've spent.
Yeah.
Yep, he is. Unless you want to get, you know, cute with it and include the things they got when they traded down twice, but I'm not feeling the need to do that. So, because that's part of the story, right, is that they backed up a couple of times before picking him, and they end up picking him and calling him a player that he really hasn't become. He's become a more fully formed all-around running back than I think a lot of us were expecting. Were most of us expecting J.D. McKissic 2.0?
Right.
Because that's who they had tried to sign. And honestly, for the pick, maybe, yeah, it's Brandon this, like they did see more in there. Because who would ever spend a second-round pick on a running back that you would only expect to be a pass-catching running back? That typically does not happen. Right. Typically does not happen.
Unless you were really looking for that in that offense at that
right.
time.
But I wonder if they thought, he's this now, and we think there's more in there as a skill set. And yeah. that would have ended up being true. Like, he has been far great. I think this is fair to say, right? He's developed into a player that is much better as a runner than he is as a pass catcher.
Was that three coordinators ago, though? I mean, is he
maybe right as Dorsey shows up?
Okay.
Right as Dorsey shows up.
John in Florida is up on the phones here. John, good morning.
Hey, good morning, guys. I wanted to call in, Jeremy. You and I were having a discussion in chat. Joe, I don't know if you saw it, but good morning to you as well. You're very adamant about the idea that it would be impossible for a player to, you know, be politically correct with the media and not speak their actual minds. When I think that we see examples of that every day in the NFL when players take the podium and speak to you guys in the media. Right? We're talking about some of the most well-trained media humans on the planet outside of, I mean, probably politicians, right? You cannot state that a player holding out for a couple of mil on a team, right? This team has the NFL MVP. It's been reported that the two contract extensions that he has signed, he could have fought for more money, even though they were, yes, record-setting deals. It was widely reported that they could hold out for more money. And we've had players like Milano and Bernard, and, I mean, the list goes on. You guys know better than I do, I'm sure. All I'm saying, there's no way for us to know for sure that anyone else, like, how they feel about it. But to pretend that it would be impossible that his peers might feel some kind of way when they have taken team-friendly deals, they are all in to get a championship, and you have one outlier who's kind of seemingly making a huge distraction over what we would consider an insane amount of money, but what they might consider not to be an insane amount of money. I just think that it's impossible to know, and I think that it's probably pretty realistic to assume that someone might feel some sort of way and just not be saying that to you guys in the media. That's kind of my whole argument on the case.
Right, the idea that players would grow resentment for what Cook is doing.
Not necessarily resentment towards the player to where it's going to be tangible, but resentment towards the idea of, is this guy really a part of our team? If everyone else is doing things, making sacrifices and making career decisions to try and win a championship, and then you got a guy on the side who's like, well, I would rather have $2.5 million more than chase a championship with you guys. I just think it's impossible to say that every player is going to be like, no, yeah, I'm totally cool with that.
Thanks, Sean. Yeah.
Wouldn't the players that got paid be okay with it?
Yeah.
Because Khalil Shakir did that. this summer or this spring. So did Greg Rousseau. So did Terrell Bernard. Like, but these guys got it paid immediately.
Yeah.
So wouldn't they empathize more than anybody with Cook looking to take the next step in his career, getting that extension security for the long term, when all of those players did the exact same thing? They just got it done way quicker.
Right. I mean, part of what John is getting there is he said all these team-friendly deals, these guys taking less for a championship. I don't know how true that all is. It's one of the it's one of the guarantees that you get in sports. Everybody that signs, you know, he had more on the table to go somewhere else, and he liked it here. Like, that is
– that's everywhere.
It's baked into so many contract announcements. He actually took less to go to Tampa. Turns out he took less to go to so-and-so. And we never see what the other offers are. You know, like Josh Palmer.
That one, the Chris Godwin one, is the only one where he actually did get
he
to see the
He took less to – okay, yeah.
We got a number on that? It was like $20, $30 million?
Sure.
But that's like the only one you ever learn about.
And like, let's get to Josh Palmer. Did he take less to come here, or were the Bills the highest bidder? Right? Joey Bosa and Larry Ogunjobi and Michael Hoyt. And, you know, at the end of the day, these teams – and this is not specific to the Bills. Lots of teams do this. They want to, of course – sell the idea of family this, we're all in this together. And the moment they decide a player's not worth it, that guy's walking out the door. Gabe Davis was everything the Bills ever wanted. They had a price on him. And would he have taken less? Well, how much less should he take? He got $13 million from the Jaguars. Should he take six? Or should he have a career? So the concept is ask any former player anywhere ever, and you're going to get like a 98% return rate of – oh, the players are going to support the players. The players want players to get paid.
Oh, yeah.
That is it's the culture of the league is for the players to want the players to get paid. The salary cap exists, of course, to make tough decisions. It exists to, in part, try and keep the league even, try and keep the league keep parity alive, have that in place. But the decisions about who to pay and what to pay come down to the cap. The players are on the same side. And – you know, could there be resentment for James Cook in the locker room because he wants to get paid what he believes is a fair number? The difference between Cook's situation and the other players might simply be that those players got offers and they thought, that looks pretty good. And the Bills offer to Cook, again, the report is they're not that far apart. So if I've got a report that says they're not that far apart, I don't know why I should treat James Cook like a bad guy.
Yeah.
Maybe he's thinking, oh, we're not that far apart. I want to get this over the line. And, you know, John calls in. Like the genesis for the conversation is, could players pretend or say that they're okay with it and behind closed doors be mad about it? Maybe. You don't often get guys coming out and saying they don't like it. Like Le'Veon Bell's situation was one because he sat out the year. Like,
right.
I need you to get here. You had Steelers players calling out Aaron Rodgers before he signed because they're like, are you with us or not? Like, I want to know, are you with us or not? I feel like Cam Hayward said something to that effect. You're just not likely to get players mad at Cook about it, especially in training camp.
Did you see C.D. Lamb this weekend?
No.
Micah Parsons wrote a long letter asking for a trade and saying, I'm done with the Dallas Cowboys. And what was C.D. Lamb's response? Pay this man.
Yeah.
Like, come on. Like, at his own team. And I think Dak Prescott maybe said something similar to, like, the Cowboys. The Parsons situation is more far gone than the Cook situation, maybe by a lot. And what's there? That guy said, I'm done here.
Yeah.
And what are his teammates saying? Just pay him. Pay him. And I think in this situation, you don't have Cook. You don't have Cook asking for a trade. You don't have Cook saying, I'm done with the Buffalo Bills. You don't have Cook not showing up to things. So far, you have one day where he rode the bike instead of practiced. And I doubt heavily that – I mean, I would doubt heavily there'd be any player in that locker room. I know there's a lot of players in there. So, you know, one out of 90, maybe. But I would doubt heavily that there is a group of players that are holding bitterness towards James Cook because he's trying to get $14, $15 million instead of 11 or 12.
Yeah.
When he has showed up for 99% of the work.
And I guess could it advance to that? If he misses games... It's funny.
That would be a little different.
The phrase business decisions. Players are going to have a lot less respect for players that make business decisions. They're going to see that on tape. They're going to see that on film. Making a business decision to miss a Sunday practice in training camp, you know, it's just like I just don't think it moves the needle that much.
Right.
And if you're Cook or if you're
any one of these players right now, this is still practice. You know, you're out here practicing. The NFL machine has turned all this into everybody's focused so much on it, and we're part of it. Like, it's not lost on me. People care. And is he getting bad advice from his agent? Well, if you think it's bad advice, it might work. You know, one of the things about this, and this is where the two parties involved, like, Bean might be very comfortable paying Cook 10. And if he gets that deal for 3 years, $30 million, what would people say? What would people say? Wow, Cook won? Because the Bills are not going to pay a number they're not comfortable with. They might offer 9, and if he signs for 9, great. And they may get pushed to 10. But whatever the deal ultimately comes to be, we end up saying, wow, the Bills really like this number, and so does the player. That's how Benford and Rousseau and Bernard sign. Like, in the case of Shakir and Bernard, I want to go for those two especially. Like, what was their leverage right now? Play another year, go to free agency.
Yep.
They could have. They were not going to get franchise tagged because they're not that caliber of players. So it's, hey, would you like $40 million to stay here? Mm-hmm. Sure. That seems like a fair offer for what I'm getting. And for Cook, I don't know. Like, if you want to say, it's what makes it so odd. Thanks for the phone call, John. That you would almost say, like, if you're close, you would be at camp and you'd be there and you wouldn't worry about it. And here's Pelissero, Tom Pelissero. His latest is basically, it makes sense for him to not practice because this is hanging over his head and the sides are not that far apart. I don't know. I don't think the players resent him at all, and I don't think that's likely. And ask, you know, you don't have to talk about politically correct players talking about their teammate right now. Ask former players what happens in holdouts. They'll all say guys are never going to get mad about a guy wanting to get paid. They all say that. I'll talk to Jerry Ostrowski today on the Bills Squad Show. I feel like he'll say that. Oh, players are never going to get mad at a player for wanting to get paid. They might think it's not going to work,
yeah,
but they're not going to get mad at that guy. So if he misses games, that's a different story. And, you know, we're very, very far from games. We're actually a month away from the NFL kickoff. It's a month
okay.
from today.
Yeah. For Eagles and Cowboys?
Eagles and Cowboys. A month from the kickoff. So Micah Parsons is going to play in that game?
Yes. Yes, he is.
It'll all be much ado about nothing again?
I would bet yes. It's going to be much to do about nothing. Although, will he get extended? Him playing on the extension, Jerry Jones takes this to the wire. Parsons is acting like, hey, you can't do that this time. You got to pay me a year out. You cannot take this to – what did he do with Dak? Didn't he franchise tag him twice?
Yeah.
He took him through his rookie contract and then tagged him twice. Maybe Parsons is telling him right now, like, nuh-uh, you're not doing that with me. Like, yeah. I'm not saying – well, I guess he is saying I'm done here. But behind closed doors, he might be saying, I'm not done here. Just know you're not playing that game with me. Like, if I'll play for you, but you got to do this deal a year out. I'm not waiting 2 years.
And then there's also a part of this that kind of parallels with the Bills. Some of the reporting in Dallas, rather, is that Jerry Jones usually tries to get guys to play for less by selling the idea that playing for the Cowboys is special. Like, oh,
right,
you're part of America's team. This is the Dallas Cowboys. And players maybe 20 years ago thought, like, yeah, good point. What do they think now? All right, congratulations. Why would I take $5 million less per year?
Yeah.
Because you're the Dallas Cowboys.
And you got players now that are not old enough to remember the Dallas Cowboys being any sort of contender.
Yeah.
Like, serious contender. They haven't made it to a conference championship game, right, since, like, 95? There's no players in the – none of their players were born in 95, I bet. Or actually, maybe a couple of them were.
Like a kicker?
Maybe Prescott. 95 would be 30.
Yeah.
But not old enough to remember. Right, like a kicker to remember it, you'd have to have been – born in the late 80s, and you don't have players like that anymore. So what's the reputation of the Cowboys? It might not be what Jerry Jones thinks it is to those guys.
803-0550, 1-888-550-2550 to join us. Anthony Richardson and Daniel Jones will each play a good amount in the first two preseason games for the Colts.
Okay. That's going to be Richardson, isn't it?
I suppose so.
I want it to be Richardson. More exciting. More exciting player. I don't know, I'm still open to him being good. His deep ball is so good. It's like nobody can make that work.
That's all he's got.
But if you told me a quarterback is awesome at chucking the ball deep and is amazing running, sign me up. Let me try to figure out the easy stuff. Because he's got two things that are maybe the hardest. How many quarterbacks in the league have those two things as good as he does?
Didn't we find out?
Allen does.
Didn't we find out with Allen and Mahomes that the easy stuff is actually the hard stuff? Like those two were guys that could create and wing it down the field, and the league made them make the shorter throws.
Is it hard for them as much as it is just hard to keep them doing it over and over and over and over?
I'm not saying it's hard for them. I'm saying it's hard for most. That's the harder stuff. The shorter stuff, yes. Taking the layups, taking the stuff that you have to take when you need to. I don't know. We'll see about
that. But again, you're kind of saying like the willingness to do it. Not necessarily your accuracy.
Willingness,
and
processing.
Most players are more accurate 10 yards than 60.
Maybe. But there are tighter windows. I need you to make this throw to the boundary, you know, on a on a tightly covered man situation. Like that might be tougher to hit that dot than it is to throw it over the top for a guy to go win, I don't know, Alec Pierce to go win you a ball. Anyway, 803-0550 is our phone number. Bills GM Brandon Bean scheduled to join us when we return. So don't go anywhere. We can ask some questions about James Cook. And I tweeted out last night, Bean's going to be on at 7:30. And let me tell you, people have expectations. I've been told a number of things I need to ask. There have been some UFC gifts sent our way. I think it'll be just fine. I think we'll get along just fine. But, hey, we'll find out. 803-0550, 1-888-550-2550 if you want to jump on and grab a phone call. Bills GM Brandon Bean when we return. And Sal at 8 o'clock here as we roll with another practice from St. John Fisher today. Coverage of Bills training camp from St. John Fisher brought to you by Fiegel, Carr & Joyce, your border attorneys. By Outlet Liquor, when you need to stock up, it's the place to buy a case. What's your outlet? By Connors & Ferris, your workers' comp attorneys. And driven by your Upstate Honda dealers for great deals on the entire Honda lineup. Visit your Upstate Honda dealer today.